May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Just over 100 years ago, in 1905 in Chicago, there was a businessman called Paul Harris. And Paul Harris met with three of his friends to discuss how ethics could be used in business and how business could in turn help the wider community that they worked in. Him and his three friends decided to meet every week, and they decided that they would rotate whose offices they would meet in. At the first meeting, they adopted a motto that would focus the purpose of their work and of their business. The motto they adopted was simply service above self. They also wanted to adopt a secondary motto, and that was they profit most who serve best. They also decided that to make all of this work, they would have some standards by which not only they worked, but also by which they lived. So the four of them devised what's known as the four-way test. The four-way test are four questions that they asked of themselves before any words or any actions were taken. The four-way test asked, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better relationships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? The numbers who attended the meetings began to grow, and because they rotated their meetings from different people's offices and businesses, their organization got the name Rotary. And now it's in countries all throughout the world, so it's called Rotary International. And that four-way test is used by all Rotarians. But I think that four-way test could well be used by everybody, because I believe that the essence of that four-way test has its roots in the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. See, it begins with the dominant theme of the ministry of Jesus. Truth. Truth. In today's gospel reading, the Pharisees and Herodians confront Jesus with a real difficult question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, Matthew is very clear in his gospel that these Pharisees and these Herodians were not honest in their seeking. They weren't seeking truth. Their only purpose was to entrap Jesus. Because if Jesus answered a simple yes or a simple no, either of those answers would have landed him in great big trouble. And that's what they wanted. I don't really think that they could have cared less about Jesus' opinion about paying taxes to Caesar or not. They were dishonest. They were even sickeningly flattering in telling Jesus how sincere he was, teaching the ways of God in accordance with the truth. What they didn't realize, though, is that Jesus has a thing about truth, a big thing about truth. Truth. You know, if you remember at the well of Jacob, when Jesus is sat there waiting for his disciples to come back, the woman from the Samaritan village comes to get water, and they're, you know, engaging conversation. And the Samaritan woman, perceiving him to be a prophet, you know, was not very honest about her previous marital status. And it was Jesus that said to her, look, he said, you've been married 5 times. And the man you're living with now isn't your husband. He wasn't condemning her. But he just wanted her to be truthful. And then there was a woman who had the hemorrhage. And she thinks, you know, if I can just touch the hem of his garment without him knowing, I'm going to be healed. And she touches his garment and she was healed. And Jesus said, who did that? Who touched me? He didn't condemn her. He just wanted to know the truth. At the trial of Jesus, they brought so many witnesses that did not agree, until finally two agreed. And when Jesus is taken to Pilate to be interrogated, he was so in trouble by lies and so in trouble by people's deceit, he was asked by Pilate, what is the truth? You know, the irony of that question is that the truth was stood right in front of Pilate. Jesus of Nazareth, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus, who said, the truth will set you free. Jesus of Nazareth, who calls all of his disciples to be nothing less than truthful. But it seems that in general, the society and the world in which we live is not so prone to truth. You know, society today is dominated by 24-hour news channels, internet access, access to all kinds of information that may give us many opinions, but few shades of truth. We live today in a world of information overload. And what do we get from that? Well, we see our government leaders, and especially this time of year, with those running for office, in all parties, trading blame and accusations against one another, followed the very next day by the denial of the allegations and the accusations. You know, we witness every day from whatever sources we listen to this fairly new, incredible dance that they do called spin. And the word spin, I think, comes from the old English term spinning a yarn, which means stretching the truth. And then we look at the institution called the church. And we see leaders in the church now taking sides and now pointing fingers because one or the other has not been truthful. We observe a legal system that's bound itself up so tightly with microcosmic rules that in some cases important evidence cannot be introduced. Told of a global crisis that initiated a movie called An Inconvenient Truth. That before that movie can be shown anywhere in Great Britain, the British High Court, our Supreme Court, equivalent to our Supreme Court, made a ruling that the 11 inaccuracies of that movie be told before it was shown. So we're bombarded with this society that's presented to us by the various sources of information. And there's a danger with this. Because the danger is that by the standards of truth that we observe in the world, we can begin to believe that even in our own lives, if it is not very truthful, then maybe it does not really matter. We can just be like the rest of the world. But as Christians, we are not to be like the rest of the world. Because as followers of Jesus of Nazareth, we are called to be people of truth. And sometimes the truth about us is not very pretty. But you know something? God and Jesus know that. Every time we gather for worship, the first prayer that we offer is about our hearts being open, all of our desires being known, and from God, no secrets are hidden. You know, it's no surprise to me that the heart of the gospel is forgiveness. Because God knows all about us. And He's ready to forgive those things that may still be eating our lunch. But the forgiveness is not the end for us who claim to be followers of the way. A new life is asked of us. And one of the hallmarks is truth. You know, Jesus was very clear. He said, it's not what you eat that defiles you. Not what you put into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Paul Harris hit the nail right on the head in 1905 when he made the first question of his four-way test, is it the truth? That's the question. That's the question that should direct our thinking and guide our conscience before we say anything or before we do anything. Is it the truth? Amen.